Hey, has lichen sclerosis messed with your relationships? You know, partner, family, friends, even at work? Then you need to join us at the Holistic Healing Summit this May 13th to the 17th, because we're bringing all the experts. We're going to be talking about intimacy, sex, as well as how do you talk to your family, friends, provider, boss? All of those things. And this is a free event, live, virtually, so you can catch it anywhere in the world, May 13th to the 17th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We've got sessions going on all day. Get more information at lssupportnetwork.org/WHS. That's lssupportnetwork.org/WHS.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. My name is Kathy, and this is our journal of learning about and living with lichen sclerosis. Each week, I either speak to someone or research an aspect of lichen sclerosis and bring you the information, so you don't have to. I bring you the real talk without the medical jargon. I'm so excited because this week I'm bringing you one of the ladies who took the paleo diet and turned it into the autoimmune protocol. She's one of the original three OGs that brought you AIP. I'm talking to none other than Angie Ault. Angie is not just an autoimmune protocol coach. She's a social activist. She is a researcher. She's lived all over the world, and her story is going to truly amaze you. She was able to manage her LS using just the autoimmune protocol for 19 years. Yeah, 19 years. You're also going to learn what is the autoimmune protocol and is it for you? Before we get into the conversation, I want to give a quick shout out to Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. We are doing big things over there and currently looking for volunteers. We're in the beginning stages of planning the next Holistic Healing Summit, which is coming on May 9th to May 13th, and it is going to be huge. But that means we need a lot of hands on deck. So if you have a few hours a week and you can volunteer your time, please come and help us out. You can fill out our form at lssupport.net/volunteers. And I'll have the link for that in the show notes. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Angie Ault.
This information is for educational purposes and does not constitute medical advice. Speak to your medical professional before making any changes to your care.
Let's start off with, you have lichen sclerosis. Mm-hmm. That kind of propelled you onto the AIP direction. Tell us a little bit about your diagnosis story and how you ended up being on AIP.
Mm-hmm. I have kind of a long and winding story. Lots of people have long journeys to their diagnosis in the autoimmune world, but my story has some extra twists and turns because a lot of my lowest points with illness, I was also living overseas in a developing country in West Africa. So that added some extra twists and turns in my story. So when I was 21, I had my daughter. It was an unplanned pregnancy, but an absolutely welcome baby. Women with autoimmune disease, we're vulnerable to developing autoimmunity at those kind of big hormonal changes in our lives. So women tend to be really vulnerable around puberty, pregnancy, postpartum, and then again at menopause because of our hormonal shifts. Sure enough, I gave birth to my daughter, and about probably 2 to 3 months later, I started to notice some changes on the skin, on my labia, of course, some symptoms like the common itching, things like that. But I knew that it wasn't just like some of the regular things that women go through. I knew there was something wrong there, especially with the changes in the skin. back in those days, the internet was around. It wasn't like I was living in 1895 or anything, but we didn't really utilize the internet the way we do now in terms of looking up information, especially medical or health-related information. But I found some medical encyclopedias, believe it or not. I sat down, I looked through those encyclopedias, and I found information about lichen sclerosis. I read about it, and I was like, oh, I think that's what's wrong. I went back and saw the obstetrician gynecologist who had delivered my daughter. I said, I'm experiencing these symptoms. I think I have this. He did an exam. He said, yeah, that is what is going on. He sent me home with clobetasol. Probably a lot of women are familiar with that medication in your audience. But he didn't tell me that it was an autoimmune disease. He didn't really explain to me how I might best utilize that steroid or for how long and kind of what I needed to do beyond that. So I did the best I could, but overall, the steroid at the time wasn't a very significant impact for me. It didn't seem to help much. I was a young, new, single mom, busy working, going to school, running after my baby, and I just didn't kind of put that on the front burner to take care of my health in that way. I didn't realize that if you had one autoimmune disease, you were susceptible to developing more autoimmune diseases. So not very long after that, I started developing what I now know were probably the first signs of celiac disease, which I also have. But I went on, I met my husband, and we got married, and he works in international development. So we moved overseas. When we moved overseas, we were living in West Africa. The symptoms of the celiac disease started to get very severe. I also was dealing with undiagnosed endometriosis, so another kind of reproductive disease. It's not quite clear whether or not endometriosis is autoimmune or not. A lot of folks feel like it has a lot of the characteristics of autoimmune disease, but there's not definitive research yet saying one way or the other. Because I had so much damage in my small intestine from the celiac disease, I started having a lot of seemingly unrelated health problems because I was really malnourished. I just didn't know that that's what was wrong. I started having heart rhythm irregularities, a lot of bone pain, a lot of muscle pain. I was losing hair. I was losing muscle mass because I had lost so much weight. I had some trouble with the cushioning fat layer under your skin because that started to kind of disintegrate in the process. It was just a wide array of things. With that, of course, started to come a lot of mental and emotional health problems, in part because I didn't have the right nutrients I need. We don't think of nutrients as being an important part of keeping our stable, steady, good mental and emotional health, but that is part of the picture. But also because it's stressful to have health problems. An LS diagnosis all by itself can kind of send you down a spiral. So I was like scared. It was hard to access medical care in that setting. I ended up going through two medical evacuations. The second time I was evacuated to Europe, I spent some time in a tropical diseases hospital because they couldn't figure out what was wrong. They thought I might have malaria.
Oh no.
It was very crazy. I finally went back to the United States. I told my husband, I got to go home and figure out what's wrong. Then I basically made finding out what was wrong my full-time job. I saw doctors pretty much nonstop for a few months. Finally, I was sent to a gastroenterologist. She did some antibody testing and an endoscopy to look at the cells in my small intestine. I was diagnosed with celiac disease. In that process, I also had my first surgery for endometriosis, which can only be diagnosed via laparoscopic surgery visually. Mm-hmm. So I arrived at approximately 32, 33 with 3 diagnosed autoimmune diseases, one of them being LS, really struggling with the effects of all those diseases, the malnourishment from the celiac disease. I just didn't know what to do. The doctors were just saying, oh, you're a celiac, so just follow a gluten-free diet and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. A few months into that, I just wasn't getting better. I started reaching out to friends saying, like, I feel like I'm like missing myself. I feel like who I am is like taken over by these diseases. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to heal. I can see that I've kind of come to the end of what the conventional system can offer me. What should I do? A friend of a friend told me that I should look up something called lectins. Lectins are basically an anti-nutrient in grains. I looked that up. That led me to some websites about the paleo diet. to Rob Wolf. He was kind of an original guy in the paleo movement. Rob had written a book back then. This was in 2012, called The Paleo Solution. There was like two or three sentences in The Paleo Solution that basically said, people with autoimmune disease probably should eliminate a few other foods if they want to heal. That was like the little tiny nugget of information. So I started Googling that kind of stuff, researching that kind of stuff, and I came across Dr. Sarah Ballantyne, who runs the Paleo Mom. At the time, her website had like a few blog entries. It was really small, but she was utilizing the autoimmune protocol. She has a research background, so she was kind of refining the autoimmune protocol beyond what folks like Rob Wolf had mentioned, putting together the protocol as it kind of stands today. I said, okay, I have three autoimmune diseases. I think that I better try to use the autoimmune protocol. So actually on May 1st of 2012, I went cold turkey. I started the autoimmune protocol overnight.
Really?
3 days later, I had my first full day in probably 3 or 4 years without an anxiety attack.
Oh, that's amazing.
I like made it through the day without panic. That was very significant to me. Then a few days after that, I noticed that I felt a little better, like I had a little more energy. I kept going. 6 weeks later, my gluten antibodies had dropped by half. 6 months later, it was like having a new body. Uh-huh. A year later, I changed everything about my life, including my career, to teach other people about the autoimmune protocol.
Wow. Wow. I always say everything happens for a reason. Even myself included, being here today talking with you, all these different little situations, if they hadn't happened, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
We're here today so that we can impart your knowledge, which you have in abundance, that can help other people. So I love that. I love, 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 love that. Because it sucks when you're going through it.
Yeah.
But I always say, my struggle today is for a reason in the future. I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be freaking amazing.
Right.
I believe that helps me get through all of those nasty moments in life. So your story just validates that for me. I love, love, love that. How long ago from present did you start this journey?
The 1st of May this year was my 9th anniversary of adopting the protocol. In, like I said, approximately a year after I started trying the protocol and seeing the results, seeing that it was working, I started blogging, sharing on social media. And then in 2013, I started training to become a certified health coach. I completed that in 2014. I started coaching, developed a program to teach other folks how to kind of utilize the AIP in a little bit more gentle and phased approach, because I saw that those of us who were like very, very ill, very, very desperate could probably muscle through cold turkey. But in general, that wasn't very sustainable for most people. It really uses up all your willpower. And like after 2 weeks of white knuckling it, you're just like, I can't keep this up, even if it might be helping. So I developed a program to help people do that in a little more sustainable way. Then I got my nutritional therapy training.
That's amazing. It sounds like you and these other women were kind of like the, I don't want to say founders, because it came from, it started somewhere else, but you guys refined it to what it is today through experimenting, seeing what worked for you, seeing what didn't, and kind of combining your knowledge. Mm-hmm. To create what AIP is today. So we're talking to the OG. I love that. Getting it straight from the source. And you are preaching to the choir, because I was like, I'm going to try the autoimmune protocol. I'm ready. Then I started looking into it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to starve. Okay. Because this just might not be for me. So I might be one of those people that need to go through your program. You're going to need to convince me. Why should I be on your program? So let's talk about how your program is run differently from if someone just tried to pick it up on their own and just do all the things.
First of all, you're right. Mickey Truscott and I were friends with Sarah. Ballantyne. Because of Sarah, we met each other. And eventually I left my old blog and social media and joined her. And we combined forces at our website, autoimmunewellness.com. Sarah is kind of always been like the deep science piece of how this works, why this dietary and lifestyle protocol can help people with autoimmune disease. And Mickey and I, we come from the coaching nutritional therapy background. So we're more like implementation, like we know scientifically it can work, but how do you practically make it work in your everyday life? That's kind of our focus. So maybe what I should do first of all is kind of explain a little bit about the protocol, and I can tell you about how I utilize it in my program. So first of all, the autoimmune protocol has two phases, an elimination phase and a reintroduction phase. During the elimination phase, you take out quite a few foods, as Kathy was alluding to. It can seem like what's left, like, is this a diet of air and water? I don't know. But
especially if you don't eat fish, because I don't eat fish. I was like, I'm going to starve.
Yeah. Well, so we eliminate all grains. We eliminate all pseudo grains and grain-like substances. So pseudo grains are things like quinoa. We eliminate all dairy. We eliminate all legumes. So legumes are things that you're familiar, like black beans or green beans, but it also includes soy and peanuts. We eliminate all processed vegetable oils. So that's things like canola oil, all processed food chemicals and ingredients. So that's like the preservatives, the dyes, the thickeners that you see on ingredient labels of foods, all refined sugars and non-nutritive sweeteners. So that's like high fructose corn syrup. That doesn't mean that AIP is sugar-free though. Like actually honey, maple syrup, things like blackstrap molasses, they actually have some pretty big health benefits. So it's not completely sugar-free. All nuts and seeds, this is where it gets really hard. Amongst the seeds are coffee and chocolate. I know it's getting like super hard. We eliminate all fruit and berry based spices. So that's things like black pepper, all the nightshade family produce and the spices that are derived from them. So nightshades are things like tomatoes, bell peppers, hot peppers like jalapeno, white potato, and eggplant. Then all eggs, all alcohol, which that one's pretty straightforward. A lot of folks realize that alcohol is probably not the best match when you're trying to heal. But it's not just about elimination during that phase where you're taking those foods out. It's also about flooding the body with super nutrient-rich foods that are like very crucial to the healing process and fueling your body for the healing process. So we focus a lot on adding in healthy fats like olive oil or pastured lard, bone broth, organ meat. So that's things like liver, which are ounce for ounce, the most nutrient dense foods that a person can eat. I know it's hard to wrap our minds around it though.
I love some liver. I'll eat some liver. Yeah.
All right. I love hearing that, Kathy. I don't get to hear it very often. I have to convince people all the time. Lots of colorful vegetables. People can be mistaken that the autoimmune protocol is a very meat-heavy diet, a very protein-focused diet, but actually most of the diet is vegetable-based. And fermented foods, so things like sauerkraut that are really good for getting probiotics into your microbiome. Then fish and shellfish, as long as there's no allergies, again, just because they're really nutrient-rich. So you go through this elimination phase. You focus on eating lots of nutritive food. Then when you start to see symptom improvement, hopefully maybe even symptom resolution, you can start to work on slowly reintroducing foods one at a time, kind of like we do when our kids are babies and we're like giving them one food at a time in case they have any sensitivities or allergies, we'll know which food it is. We never really do that when we're adults though. How I explain it to adults is like, you might have health-related symptoms that are food-driven, but it's kind of like your body's so noisy from all the different foods at the same time. It's like a noisy bar. Yeah. It's like the band is playing. People are trying to like talk over the band and like shout in each other's ears so they can hear each other. When you do this process, kind of eliminate foods, focus down to the really most nutritive ones, kind of give your immune system a moment to calm down. It's like the music stopped suddenly and you're screaming at your girlfriend, look at that cute guy. And everybody in the bar suddenly hears you. That's what happens when you start to reintroduce food. For instance, if you attempted to reintroduce dairy and you notice right away your sinuses are stuffy, your skin is breaking out, maybe you get a rash, then it's like your body screaming when the band turned off, saying like, dairy didn't work. Hold on. The point of the diet is not to be the most restricted as long as possible. That's not at all the point. The point is to go through this process so that eventually you figure out what is individually the right match for your body. And you basically are designing a bio-individual diet towards the end. Your goal is always to have the least restricted diet that's giving you the best health.
Okay.
So that is how the protocol works. Now, in my program, what we do is instead of eliminating all of that overnight, which is really, really hard, you either have to be extremely ill and really motivated because of that illness.
Absolutely.
Or you need to be somebody who's really comfortable with that kind of change. The truth is that most of us are not fit for that change. Like 95% of people that I work with are better suited to a slow and steady change rather than a cold turkey change. Mm-hmm. So what we do in my program is over 6 weeks, we eliminate only a couple food groups at a time each week. We add in one food group at a time so you can get used to including those foods in your diet and planning around that. We work on making sure you have good structure for meal planning and preparation so that you're not like chained to your stove all the time trying to cook healing food. Then we focus on one lifestyle factor each week because the autoimmune protocol isn't just about diet. Although diet is kind of the central portion, we also realize that things like our sleep, stress management, movement, and connection to nature and other human beings, all five of those things have actually very big regulatory impact on our immune system. The underlying thing for all autoimmune diseases, whether it's LS or celiac disease or MS or any of the autoimmune diseases you've heard of, the underlying thing is that the immune system has been dysregulated. It's overactive and you need to find a way to calm it.
So the paleo diet is not correct descriptive. It is a protocol because it is kind of like this holistic kind of approach to managing your autoimmune disease.
So. Yeah, like back in the OG days, it got referred to very often as autoimmune paleo. Even like our main big account on Instagram is autoimmune paleo because that's where we started at. But the reason for that was that the autoimmune protocol was kind of an outgrowth originally of the paleo diet. It was like, okay, the basic paleo diet was working for like basically the folks who want to look good naked, right? Like they wanted to they wanted to pack on muscle, trim a few pounds, go to CrossFit, whatever. That diet was working for them. But for folks like us who have a much bigger goal in mind, like heal my body, have great management of my autoimmune disease and not be living daily with these debilitating symptoms, we needed to go a little bit further.
Yeah.
Over the years, the research, the work into how to implement the protocol has grown so much that it's pretty much separate now of that original outgrowth.
What is the name of your program?
My program is called SAD, as in the Standard American Diet to AIP in six. So it's SAD to the Autoimmune Protocol over 6 weeks. That's kind of the descriptor. You can find it at sadtoaip.com. Wow. And I've taught this method of adopting AIP to well over 2,000 people. It's been used in 3 medical studies that were fantastic. So
that's amazing, amazing, amazing. With the protocol, right now you're touching on sleep, touching on not just diet, but exercise, stress management, all of the things that we know are important in treating our LS. These are right. Things that I preach all the time. So I love, love, love that. When we are back to the reintroduction phase, are there any foods that you say are always off the table? Or is it strictly whatever your body responds to?
So when you get into the reintroduction phase, foods are divided into four stages. Basically, the first stage foods are foods that most people are they're least likely to react to. They're the most nutrient dense. So it's like, you're probably going to be able to get them back into your diet, and they have some nutrient value that would make it worthwhile to get them back into your diet. And as you move through those stages, by the time you get to the fourth stage, those foods are foods that a lot of people, the majority of people with autoimmune disease, are going to have a tougher time reintroducing. They're often foods that are especially antagonistic to the immune system. They're also foods that overall don't offer as much nutrient density. There's other options that could deliver the same or better nutrient components. So for instance, in the first phase, you would see egg yolks, which a lot of folks do actually okay with egg yolk. It's egg white that sometimes drives problems for folks, but okay. You'll see like egg yolks and they're really nutrient dense. So they're really worthwhile trying to get back in. But like in the fourth phase, something you might see is tomato. Tomato is very common driver of symptoms for people with autoimmune disease. It has adjuvant qualities. It's like something that's added to a vaccine to help the immune system respond and start forming antibodies. Tomatoes are capable of making our immune system do that.
So wow. They
can be really big drivers of symptoms for folks with autoimmune disease. Then there's some things that you don't see represented on those reintroduction stage charts. And the reason for that is because by far and away for almost everyone with autoimmune disease, those foods will lead to symptoms and be a problem. So gluten is one of those things, like wheat, barley, and rye. Most folks don't ever get them back into their diet when you're dealing with autoimmune disease, because they're such common drivers of symptoms.
You were saying how a lot of people think that it's very meat-based. Mm-hmm. You do incorporate a lot of vegetables, but what about for people who don't eat meat? Like for vegan, would a vegan be able to do this protocol?
So one of the things that Mickey, Sarah, and I went on to do is we formed a program called AIP Certified Coach. If anybody is interested, you can find it at AIPcertified.com. That program is where we train other practitioners how to use this protocol. And that can range from anywhere from medical doctors that we've trained, like pharmacists, registered nurses, naturopathic doctors, all the way to like health coaches, nutritional therapists, registered dietitians, anybody with kind of a wellness background with base certifications or licenses, we train them how to use the protocol in their practices or clinics. One of the things that we always talk with them about is that when it comes to folks with a vegan and vegetarian background, it really is not a very healthy protocol for them if they're not willing to consider at least reintroducing fish and becoming pescatarian. If they're willing to eat adequate amounts of fish daily or seafood daily so that they can have a good, strong protein source, then it could be a protocol that works for them. But without that, especially because we remove legumes, they don't have good sources of protein on the diet. So it's not nutrient-wise really good for their health. We wouldn't want them to do something that actually is too restrictive. And that's going to defeat the purpose of the protocol, which is to flood your body with nutrients so your healing can occur. There are a lot of former vegans and vegetarians in our community, a lot of them. Actually, my partner, Mickey Truscott at Autoimmune Wellness, she was a former vegan for 10 years before she adopted the autoimmune protocol. So we are really familiar with the process of transitioning back to eating at least some forms of animal protein and prepared to support people if they want to take that step.
You have been on the protocol now for 9 years, right? Mm-hmm. So how has it impacted your LS in particular?
Yeah. So first of all, I would clarify that obviously I went through the reintroduction stages and process like a long time ago. For the most part, I'm at the stage now where I have that bio-individual diet. I have figured out the foods that work for me and the foods that aren't a great match for my body. I have a much, much wider diet. It's not like I was in elimination phase this whole time. I don't want people to think that oh man, Angie did it for 9 years. I'm going to do it for 10. Like nobody's getting a gold star for restricting that long. We don't want you to over restrict. So,
yeah, because we had a dietitian on, she was saying that it's super important when you do an elimination diet that you don't eliminate for too long because mm-hmm. it changes the gut microbiome mm-hmm. so that eventually if you do reintroduce too late, now your gut is not equipped to handle the foods that you could have used earlier. So talk about that a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it can starve the microbiome if you go too long without certain foods. I think what she was talking about there is like provoking like immune, like oral intolerance. There's a lot of disagreeing science about that. But yes, I totally agree with her that you don't want to over restrict for too long. So with the Autoimmune protocol, your minimum that everybody does is 30 days like that, just because that gives you kind of an optimal clean slate. So that when you start that reintroduction process, you can hear the person in the bar screaming.
right.
But what I see more often is that folks with autoimmune disease need somewhere between 60 and 90 days.
Okay.
However, if somebody gives the elimination phase a try and they get to 90 days and they haven't seen the progress that they were expecting and they're not feeling really noticeably much better, not really seeing much difference in their symptoms, they shouldn't like diet harder. They shouldn't be like, let me restrict even more for even longer. That's the wrong way to go. If you get to that point and you're not seeing the progress that you want to see, it's time to get a practitioner involved. Ideally like a functional medicine doctor, but it could be like a coach or somebody else to help you to start doing some digging and try to find what might be the underlying issues that are preventing progress for you with the protocol. Sometimes we have underlying conditions very commonly amongst the autoimmune community that need to be diagnosed and treated, and diet alone isn't going to correct them. Like an example of that might be small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. And that's when you have bacteria overgrown in your small intestine that kind of doesn't belong there. It can cause problems with absorption of nutrients, things like that. That needs to be treated. You can't just like use diet to correct it. It very often prevents people from making really good progress with the autoimmune protocol. So that's kind of like 30 days is your minimum. 90 days would be your maximum. At that point, if you're not seeing progress, work with somebody to see what might be preventing that.
So you don't say, don't do this on your own. You're okay with people going through the autoimmune protocol on their own. But if they get past that 90 days, then you need to bring in a professional.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Lots of folks are able to implement successfully on their own and follow the process. And we have a lot of resources out there to guide and direct people. They can find resources at our website, autoimmunewellness.com. They can sign up for our newsletter and get all kinds of handouts and other resources. We wrote a book called the Autoimmune Wellness Handbook that a lot of folks use to follow and guide themselves through the process. We have our podcast. Our website is not the only one. Obviously, the Paleo Moms website. And I mean, the AIP community has grown so much from the time we started. There's lots and lots of resources to help folks get through this. But that said, it's easier if you have support.
Yeah.
The process feels less like grueling and stressful. It's nice to have professionals with training mm-hmm. in nutritional therapy to kind of, you know, troubleshoot questions, and people that have like a coaching background and understand the psychology of habit change can help you with that part of the process. It's also nice to do it in community. Taking a step like this, you know, I'm sure your audience hearing that long list of foods is going like, oh my gosh, how am I going to eat like that when nobody around me eats like that? So doing it with a community of other people who also have autoimmune disease and are doing it for their health and being able to have that support, that kind of stuff can make all the difference between like being able to implement and sustain it long enough to see positive health changes, or like we were talking about, kind of burnout and have a hard time moving forward. Definitely, if you try it on your own and you get to that 90-day mark and don't see improvement, the easy kind of like knee-jerk reaction is to try to restrict more.
But you
can really restrict yourself into a corner where you're only eating a few foods. The nutrient density importance of the protocol has been eliminated because you've restricted too much. It can be frustrating. It can be lonely. It's not great for you psychologically to be that restricted with food. So at that point, it's
doing more harm than good. Absolutely.
Right.
That's the opposite of what we're trying to do.
Right. I think it's kind of human nature to be like, to think like, well, if a little bit is supposed to be helpful, then maybe even more is better. But that's not always true. More isn't always better, especially if we're talking about restriction. So yeah, I started this about 9 years ago. I've gone through that process. Yeah, for the most part, in that 9-year period, I had really good management of my LS. I didn't have a lot of symptomology. It stayed very mild. I didn't have a lot of increasingly difficult changes with my skin or anything like that. I didn't have like really frequent and painful tearing or other kinds of symptoms. I was mostly able to manage it successfully during that time, just pretty much sticking to a dietary process that was working for me. But something we were talking about this earlier, Kathy, something that I've observed doing my group program, serving all these people for all these years, working with like a really high volume of people with all kinds of autoimmune diagnoses. The folks who have autoimmune diseases that affect their skin, lichen sclerosis, lichen planus, psoriasis, those kinds of conditions, I notice that stress is particularly important in terms of being able to manage their symptoms. Mm-hmm. We seem to be extra sensitive and vulnerable to the impact of stress on ourselves and in terms of our diseases. And I'm sure everybody would agree, the last year was very stressful.
Yes.
Yes. I think all of us probably had lots of our own personal stress. And then what was happening in the world around us, for those of us in the US, in our country, it was just so stressful. I found that I was having a tough time keeping my symptoms well managed. I started seeing a specialist again. Now I use a combination of diet and steroid. Thankfully, I see a great doctor who knows what she's doing, and I have been able to utilize the steroid much more effectively than I had previously been not taught how to use. So,
shout out to doctor. That's all good. We shout out good doctors on here.
My doctor is Jill Kraft.
Whoop, whoop. We love Dr. Kraft. She is a friend to the pod.
She is a very awesome doctor who really knows what she's doing and makes sure her patients are educated. So,
love Dr. Kraft. So, yes, amazing. So, I'm loving the fact that even though you were managing so well with the diet and everything, you are not averse to saying, okay, this isn't helping by itself anymore. We're okay with adding the medical prescription side. Because a lot of the time when you're following influencers who are in the holistic space, it's like drugs are the devil. You cannot take drugs. If you can't manage with just supplements and food, then something's wrong with you. You're not doing it right. You're weak if you go for medication. So I love that you're not like that you understand that part of the holistic healing sometimes is adding medication. So
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you follow me on Instagram, so I'm sure you've seen me being a little bit snarky about this. So, Kathy, you're probably like, oh boy, here she goes.
I love it. Bring it on.
First of all, I think that there's a difference between influencers and leaders. I think that particularly on social media, it's really easy to kind of use those two terms interchangeably. But an influencer is not the same thing as a leader. Leaders have to be really aware that they might have some influence and be really thoughtful and careful and intelligent about the kind of things that they put out there because of that influence. Influencers do not care whether or not anybody's going to be negatively impacted about what they said and whether or not they've been responsible with their words and the information they're putting out there. Unfortunately, there is kind of a section of the wellness influencer world that has given this false idea that natural approaches that we can do ourselves, things like diet and lifestyle, herbal remedies, things like that, are the only way to go. That if you have to use conventional medicine in any form, whether that's needing to use pharmaceuticals or needing to have surgery or just interact with the conventional system, that somehow you failed in terms of healing your disease. Mickey and I have been really strong voices about this. And of course, Sarah Valentine as well, for the last 8 or 9 years. Autoimmune disease is a complex problem. Complex mm-hmm. problems need nuanced solutions. That nuance means using all the tools available to you. If you put your all into working on your diet and your lifestyle, you've done as much as you can realistically with your life and your reality. You've taken it upon yourself to look into other options with the least amount of side effects and whatever else, but you can't get there the rest of the way, then yeah, use what's available to you. Don't throw out those important tools that might take you the next 20, 25, 10%, whatever it is, the rest of the way there to having the highest quality of life you can. That's the goal with autoimmune disease. We want to live a high quality life, despite the fact yes. that we have a disease we're going to have the rest of our lives.
Amen. Yes. I love that. I preach that all the time. Your journey is your individual journey. Mm-hmm. You have to find out what it is that your body needs to heal so that you can live the life that you want to live. Yeah. My journey is different than your journey. Your journey is different than Jacqueline's journey or any of the other ladies that I've talked to who come to me looking for information, because my values may be different than yours. You may be like able to do all of the things with this diet. I may only be able to do 60%. I might need that medication to take me the next 40% mm-hmm. because that's my choice. If I wanted to dedicate myself, then that's my choice as well. But I love the fact that you're not shunning me for not doing that extra 40%, because a lot mm-hmm. of the time you do feel like, oh, it's either all or nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a really important point that you brought up there, Kathy. I think I've been really lucky to get to work with so many people because it helped me see the wide reality of the lives that people are living. It helped me see so many behind the scenes factors that go into folks being able to manage their autoimmune diseases, or the factors that even probably contributed to the disease developing in the first place. It just let me know that an all or nothing approach is just totally unrealistic. Actually, I think a lot of people in the autoimmune community are kind of prone to perfectionism. I think that stress actually becomes a driver sometimes of our disease symptoms. And mm-hmm. having a focus that's more about making progress than making perfection. I mean, we're not robots. I don't know if perfectionism in any form, in any area of our life, is even actually very desirable. I mean, it's a really rigid way to have to live. And I don't think it's in touch with reality.
No. So I don't know. I don't think it's even attainable to for even you might be perfect one day, but the next day there's no way that you can keep that. Yeah, exactly. You cannot keep that constantly up. And you're right. If you're seeking perfection, then the one day that you don't get it, then you feel like a failure. Now you're feeling like everything that I did was for nothing. And you can go down a whole nother mental, emotional spiral that is completely negative. So it's not about perfection. It's about what's perfect for you in your lifestyle, in your values, and how you choose to live your life to get to, I always say, find the way that is sustainable for you. Mm-hmm. Because the moment that it starts becoming a chore or starts becoming something that you feel like, ugh, I, I'm, I have to do this, even though I don't want to do this, you're mm-hmm. not going to be able to sustain it. It's not going to be healthy for you. Then you're going to end up back where you started. So what was the point?
Right.
So I love that approach.
A holistic approach. That's another thing that kind of gets twisted a little bit in the wellness influencer world. I think it's given people a false concept of the meaning of holistic. That word gets thrown around in the holistic wellness spheres, like our wellness spheres, like, oh, I'm a holistic this or that, or I live a holistic life this way or that way. But holism means that you realize that all the parts are interconnected. Yeah. You need to take that into consideration, not only in terms of what may have created disease, but also in terms of what it's going to take to address disease.
Yes.
So.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, for the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network, we had our holistic healing summit. Part of that was the mind-body connection. Part of that was nutrition. Part of that was deep breathing, being in tune with our body and how we hold the stress in our body, how that goes into dealing with our disease. Also, it was part of pelvic floor physical therapy, because mm-hmm. they are helping us to learn how to manage our body, not through medicine, but through exercises mm-hmm. To relieve that stress and right. get those pressure points. But then there was also the part of medication, science, medicine, all of that. So that was our approach to holistic. It was attacking from all different angles, mm-hmm. not just the one. So I love that definition. I think that is a truer definition of holistic, yes. rather mm-hmm. than just saying, well, if it's not natural, then it's not holistic. Mm-hmm. That's just not true. That's just not the definition of it in the dictionary. So I love that. So now that we've got the diet down, let's say we are doing the reintroduction phase, is part of that protocol supplements with vitamins, minerals, and things like that? Or is it all coming from like foods?
With my training in nutritional therapy, that kind of background, I always lean towards trying to help my clients and group members get as much of their nutrients, vitamins, and minerals from their diet as possible. But it's not always realistic. Sometimes if they're not eating a wide enough variety of foods, or for instance, including organ meats during the elimination phase, they might be missing some really key nutrients because of the foods that were eliminated and the foods that they have not added back in. From that perspective, they might need to do some supplementation. Also, sometimes when we're kind of at our low point with autoimmune disease, we might have some pretty serious nutrient deficiencies. The time it takes to correct through digestion and absorption in our bodies might be a little long. It might be beneficial to kind of flood your body with the supplements instead and work that way. Like when I think about LS, then I would think about the key nutrients for our skin health. You might want to make sure you're getting plenty of zinc, an important mineral to skin health, maybe plenty of vitamin C, or maybe doing some careful supplementation with vitamin A. You can get toxicity if you have too much of it. But another really good example is that most of us are vitamin D deficient. Mm-hmm. We don't spend enough time out in the sun, or maybe we live in climates where we don't get enough direct sunlight, or for darker skinned folks living in northern climates, it's harder for them. So vitamin D supplementation might be worthwhile. On the mineral side, a lot of us are deficient in magnesium because it needs to come from our soils. A lot of our soils are depleted of magnesium, so it can be helpful to supplement with magnesium on that side. It's a good idea, though, to work with a practitioner on that. Don't just like be I read on the internet.
Yeah.
Because actually, it's not always great for you. You can overdo it. It's smart to be targeted with it rather than just like, I always call it the supplement graveyard when I work with my clients. They've got like that cupboard in their kitchen that has like $380 for the supplements that they haven't taken or whatever. So it's good to work with somebody to make sure that that's a little bit targeted, that you're taking into consideration maybe medications that you're on also, all the factors.
Yeah. So definitely get tested first. Work with someone, get tested, let them be able to read the findings and tell you exactly what you're low on, where you need to get those extra vitamins right. and minerals. Then whatever you can't get through your diet, then be able to supplement them with some.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. So is that something you offer maybe through your program?
In my program, because I work with people in the group setting, we sometimes talk about supplementation in a more like general way, but we don't make specific individual recommendations just because we don't have the deep health history that we would get if we were working one-on-one with a client. When I'm working one-on-one with a client, we look into that stuff. I give recommendations that then they follow up with their healthcare providers to see if that's the right match.
So you do one-on-one coaching. How could someone get in contact with you to do that?
I actually have a full practice right now and don't have openings, but I would love people to join the group program.
All right. So join SAD to AIP at sadtoaip.com. Then hopefully when she gets some openings, you'll be like the first one in there.
Yeah, I have an amazing team of coaches that have worked with me in my program for a long time. I've personally trained all of them through AIP Certified Coach and just kind of the additional training of working with me over the years. And a lot of them have openings in their practices. So if folks decide that they need to work one-on-one with somebody, I can definitely make recommendations.
Awesome. Where can they reach you to get those recommendations?
Actually, the best way to do this is to go to AIPcertified.com. There is a directory at AIPcertified.com where they can look up practitioners of all kinds, especially coaches and nutritional therapists with the same kind of like licensure or certification background as I have, plus the AIP training. They can reach out to those coaches to work with them. All those folks have gone through training with me, Mickey and Sarah. They really know it inside and out. I'm sure they would love to work with anybody.
That's perfect. Awesome. I love it. So if someone wants to follow you on social media, which if you're not, you definitely should, they can go to your personal handle is Angie@.alt. Is that just on IG or are you on Facebook too?
That's on IG. I'm not really on Facebook very active or anything. So at Angie.alt is my personal Instagram account. If they want to follow me, it gets pretty spicy over there. If you love to dive into the autoimmune protocol, look at some recipes and stuff like that, go to at autoimmune paleo. That's where Mickey and I run our social media for our website. We have takeover hosts, people who just kind of give you a peek into their normal everyday life using the protocol and what it's like dealing with their autoimmune disease. There's good community there.
All of that information will be in the show notes. So just look in the description for this episode. Find the links there. Angie, thank you so much for coming, sharing your story, just giving us all the goods on autoimmune protocol. I'm going to have to give it a second look. I'm still on the fence just because I'm very, very, I don't like to cook. I eat out a lot and don't always eat healthy.
We served lots of folks like you, Kathy. Think about it.
I'm going to think about it. All right. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
No problem.
Isn't she amazing? She's so strong that she made it her mission to find out what is wrong with her and get on a journey to health. And that's exactly what she did. She created a whole new space in the health arena. And then created the opportunity for more people to learn that and pass that knowledge on. I think she is truly amazing. So if you want to work with Angie, she hosts classes about every month. So go to sadtoaip.com and I will also have that link in the show notes. You can just click from there. Check it out. And if you're trying to manage your LS through diet and lifestyle, I highly recommend working with her. She's top notch. There's integrity, and you're going to get the service and support that you need to get you through this process. I'm still on the fence. I don't know if this is for me, but if this is for you, definitely go and check her out. Talking about support, have you signed up for the Lichen Sclerosis Support Virtual Meetups yet? We meet every other Saturday, 2 to 4 and 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 2 hours of just meeting with people who get it. They're sharing our stories. We're asking questions, answering questions, and sharing our experiences. If you're looking for a place to vent, to learn, to ask questions, join us. I hope you have an amazing week, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.